Welcome to Boutique Practices. I'm your host, Dr. Alex Pienko, aka Dr. Mama Bird. I'm a chiropractor, entrepreneur, wife, and busy mama, and this is the place where you will learn how to design a practice that fits into your life and your calling rather than trying to fit your dreams into a box. I'm going to show you how you can do this with a low volume, part-time, and high-touch chiropractic or physical therapy practice that pays you like the doctor you are. Girl, if you are sick and tired of working crazy long hours, rushing from patient to patient, and not getting paid well, all while missing out on the most important events of your life that are happening back at home, then you're in the right place. I'm gonna show you how you can get back to enjoying both your life and the work you do, all while making more money doing it with a boutique practice. Friend, it's time to stop hustling and take a step of faith. Let's get started. Hey, 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 y'all. Good afternoon, good morning, good evening, good break of dawn, good middle of night, whatever time it is that you're listening to this episode. I hope you're having an amazing day. My name is Dr. Alex Pankoke, and I am super excited to be jumping in today on episode 6 of the Boutique Practice Blueprint or Boutique Practice podcast. And today we're going to be jumping in and talking about something that is, I think, a struggle for a lot of people, especially when we get started in business, which is execution. Now you're probably thinking, what do you mean execution? No, not execution like execution chair, but like actually doing the things, and not just doing the things, but doing the things that move the needle in your business. There's this saying that the perfect plan is only as good as the execution. And I'm speaking to the people specifically today who are great at planning and planning to plan, but may find themselves struggling with a little bit of procrastination. Now, if you're the person who struggles to create a plan, that's important. If you don't plan, plan to fail. That's also a very important saying. It is essential to have some type of plan. You need to make a plan, write it down, make it clear, and run with it. No, God's going to change the plan anyways, but at least have a plan. At least have something written down for you to move towards that has been filtered through your values, through your goals, through your vision for the business, that through what God has called you to do, through your strengths, through your skills. Have something down. Be willing to change it, but have something down. Now that said, if you've done the Boutique Practice Roadmap Challenge with me, or you've created a business plan, or you've done all of those things are so helpful. Like I said, the perfect plan is only as effective as your ability to execute it. And so like many other people in the field, you may have faced some challenges such as knowledge gaps on like how to do things, maybe fear of just getting started, fear of rejection, some self-doubt, potentially some imposter syndrome. Some of those things can come up, and those hurdles can make it challenging for you to move forward in actually making your plan come to fruition. And it may not necessarily be the fact that God is changing the plan. It's just you haven't done the things on the plan that he gave you to see the results. And so I want to go over some common challenges that a lot of entrepreneurs face and you may be facing right now, and some ways to overcome them. As I mentioned in several episodes before, growing a business grows you up. It's going to highlight areas in your life that are potential patterns that you have struggled with in the past. It's going to highlight places for you to improve. It's much like a marriage. It's much like having a child. It is going to highlight areas for you to grow. So please plan to grow if you're going to be in business. Okay, so the first thing I want to go over is not knowing what to do, or knowing what to do, but not knowing how to do it. Now, if you don't know what to do, this is where getting some guidance with potentially a coach or a mentor, I'd be happy to discuss that with you. If you think I might be the good fit, go ahead and reach out. Just a little shameless plug right there. But if you don't know what to do, ask. Ask. You could ask the Googles, you could look around, you could find a coach. You could ask mentors, you could ask other people who you trust and have created something that you've done before. You can research it. There's lots of things out there that you can do. I encourage mentors and coaches because they've already done the thing and they can help you avoid some of the pitfalls and the obstacles that you may not know because you don't know what you don't know. But what happens when you know what to do, you're just not sure how to do it? This is where, again, seeking guidance from mentors or specifically looking at industry experts who can offer valuable insights and tailored advice to your specific needs. It's okay to reach out to other professionals, attend conferences, workshops to expand your network and your knowledge base. But if this is something that is specifically outside of something you absolutely need to be doing, so maybe it's like social media marketing, maybe it's something that doesn't actually, like, it moves the needle forward in your business, but you physically don't need to be doing it, potentially looking at hiring somebody to do it for you is a great way to go. Another great example would be bookkeeping and accounting. If you're not good at numbers, you don't need to become an accountant to own a business. You can hire an accountant to do that. So, and you can ask those people questions on what to do. You don't need to become an attorney, but you can have the wisdom and the knowledge of an attorney to reach out to. This is where your malpractice insurance has tons of resources in that specific field. I could go on and on about how to utilize resources that you're already paying for in order to grow in your business and not feel stifled. But I encourage you to invest in additional resources such as books, online courses, webinars, coaching, all of those things to help you improve and learn how to do the things that you may not know how to do if it's something you need to learn how to do. So a great example of something that I would encourage investing in is potentially skills that sharpen or things that sharpen your skills as a clinician. If you want to go into a specific field, say for example, pediatric chiropractic, and you just graduated from school, can I tell you the PEDS class you took in school is not enough? You will find that you are going to need help no matter what specialty you're in. If you haven't taken the additional courses and things like that, having a mentor and courses and things can really help. Business, owning a business, entrepreneurship. You cannot replace yourself as the owner, the entrepreneur in the business. So you do need to learn how to do those things, how to look at all the different hats that need to be worn, understand which hats need to be delegated, what things can be deleted, what things move the needle forward, what things play to your strengths. Those are all things having a coach can help you with. Those are some things to invest in. And Alex Hormozi says, invest in the S&P me, not the S&P 3000, whatever that is. It's better to invest in growing and learning a skill for yourself and growing a skill set for yourself than it is to invest potentially in stocks and other things that you could invest in. Now, this doesn't have to be just related to your business. If you have other passions and things like that, I just want to encourage you, it is okay to invest. Let me just leave it at that. The second thing that I find a lot of people struggle with when it comes to executing is a lack of accountability or self-discipline. I want everybody to know here, you have a spirit of self-discipline. While it may not be sharp or as sharp as it can be, y'all got through school somehow. Y'all have a doctorate degree if you're listening to me. More than likely, somehow you got through somehow. So you have some level of self-discipline. Those boards didn't pass themselves. So give yourself some credit. You know how to do things. You know you have the capacity to learn, just like with the other one. If you don't know, you know what to do, but you don't know how. Trust, you have the capacity to learn or you wouldn't be listening to this podcast right now. And so lean into that. If that's the only thing you can say about a topic is that I may not know anything about it, but I know I can learn, lean into it. And so that goes with self-discipline. You have the capacity to grow in your skills of self-discipline. Now, when I talk about self-discipline, a lot of times I hear entrepreneurs saying like getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning and having this 1 hour, you know, routine that gets your day started. I personally don't do all of those things. And a lot of the high performing people that I have talked with and worked with, now there are some that having a daily routine and a schedule and all the things really helps them to go on, and they need like a full hour to get their mind ready to go to do the things. And then I know people who need 5 minutes and they do just fine. It's to them a complete waste of an hour to do a whole, you know, let me wake up and then I've got to make my bed and then I've got to do this and I've got to meditate on this for 30 minutes and then I've got to do that for 30 minutes. And I got to, y'all, we all have different rhythms and cycles of life, and a morning routine that you stick to every single day is not necessarily a sign of self-discipline. There's different ways to have self-discipline. You may have self-discipline in doing a routine that allows you to procrastinate for an hour a day or 2 hours a day. But the fact that you're not doing anything in that first hour or 2 hours and you are finding things to do to not actually get what you need to get done is not self-discipline. So I encourage you to consider where are some areas that you see that you could use more discipline in and focus on those things. And if you need accountability, there's a lot of different ways that you can create and establish forms of accountability as you get better at maintaining your own self-discipline. So one thing is setting clear and measurable goals and deadlines to track your practice or practice your progress. So there's tons of task management systems out there. There's tons of project management systems out there. You can also consider, again, working with somebody to help you stay accountable, whether it's accountability buddy, a business bestie who shares similar objectives. It could be having somebody on your team specifically who is good at project management, if that's not something that you are innately skilled with, to help you stay on task. It could be co-working. So I personally do much better if I am co-working with somebody. If I know there's somebody, like my husband is sitting next to me, we're both working at the same time, man, I can get more done in 2 hours with him sitting next to me than two hours on my own. I find myself scrolling around, messing around. I'm not gonna lie. I find myself messing around when I'm on my own more often than not. And finding other things to do, like busy work. I can tell you, like, literally right before I recorded this podcast episode, I'm here on my own because it's quiet because there's no kids here. I didn't get started until 15 minutes into when I was supposed to get started because I found 15 minutes of busy work to do. And so I'm getting better at that. I am not perfect. I am on my journey just like you, but I do know if my husband was sitting right next to me, the podcast episode would have been done already because just for whatever reason, having him sitting next to me and or my executive assistant, you know, us being on a co-working call together allows me to really move a lot faster and stay on task and not get distracted because for whatever reason, just having somebody there with me helps me to stay on task a little bit better and not find busy work to do. Hiring a coach, again, gonna put a plug in there. Coaching is a great way. One of the things I do with some of my students is help keep them accountable. I say, hey, here's your homework. We get on a call, we talk about what you need to do. I tell you what your homework is. I send you an email with your homework, and then I expect for it to be done when you come back, when we come back on our next call. And that is what it is. Now, I'm not the person who's gonna check on you every single day. That would be specifically an accountability coach. There are people out there who are literally accountability coaches that help you set goals, regardless of what profession you're in, and they help you to create routines and habits and structure and utilize systems and software to do that. That's not me, but those coaches, those resources are out there. And then having somebody who can provide guidance and support and motivation, ensuring that you stay focused on those goals can be really helpful. And that accountability person could be a spouse, that could be a friend, it could be a parent. So just know that it's okay to ask for help in this spectrum of self-discipline. If you need help, it's okay to access and utilize help until you are able to do it on your own. That leads us into the third thing that potentially can hold us back from actually executing and moving the needle in our business is fear of rejection. So just like sometimes we may struggle with self-discipline, we can also struggle with a fear of rejection, and those can play off of one another. Sometimes self-discipline is just procrastination rearing its ugly head. That's often a sign of perfectionism. If you're a perfectionist, usually procrastination goes along with that because it needs to be right. It needs to be absolutely what it needs to be in order for you to move forward. And can I tell you, done is better than perfect. And a lot of times centered around that perfectionist mentality is a fear of rejection. It's a fear of people seeing what you've created, what you've done, what you've put out there in the world, and being afraid that somebody's not gonna like it. And so rather than actually moving forward, publishing the thing, sending the email, you know, inviting the person to the thing, we don't do it because we're afraid somebody's gonna say no. I'm here to tell you, no person on this planet has ever done anything that everybody liked. Jesus himself had haters. Everybody's gonna have haters. If you're gonna do something meaningful in your life, you're gonna have somebody who doesn't agree. I can tell you right now, there's people who've listened to this podcast or listened to me talk about boutique practices who don't like me in the chiropractic space. They don't agree with what I have to say, and that's fine. We don't have to agree. Like I said, if you're going to do anything meaningful in this life, expect for there to be haters. Expect for there to be rejection. the better you get at rejection, the easier it will actually be to move through owning a business. Because it's going to happen. You're going to invite somebody to become patient in your practice, and they're either going to say no from the get-go because they're not ready yet, which is good because you don't want to waste your time with somebody who's not actually ready or a good fit or doesn't want to work with you or doesn't have want what you have to offer. And then you're going to get people that you invite into your practice, and you're going to do an initial exam and everything with you, and they're going to say, I don't want to, it's too expensive. I don't have the time. They're going to come with all kinds of objections. And sometimes, and actually not sometimes, most of the time, it's a reflection of themselves, not a reflection of you. When somebody rejects you, it's a reflection of themselves, not a reflection of you. Okay. If somebody's values aren't in alignment with your values, you cannot expect for them to be like, yes, let's go ahead and do the thing. And we all have different value systems and different value sets. And so instead of avoiding rejection, I encourage people to get used to getting rejected as fast as possible. The faster you get rejected, the easier it is to move through things in practice and in life. If y'all have ever had a sales job, door-to-door sales or any kind of sales, car sales, any kind of sales where you were on commission, the faster you fail, the better you get, the easier it is. Get used to people saying no. Get used to being saying, I don't like it. Get used to people saying, no, it's not for me. So we want to shift our mindset from rejection as being this ugly, nasty thing to being one step closer to a yes to somebody else. Because not everybody, like I said, is going to be a good fit in your practice. You may have somebody book a visit and they're not a good fit for your practice. And you can work on all of the objection handling and convince and coerce and do all the things that some people will recommend, and they'll get in and then you'll hate working with them. You can drop your fees to make it super simple, no brainer for people to come in. And then the majority of the people that come in, they are ungrateful. They have no will to actually get better, or they have very little will to get better. And you're dragging them through care. They're rude. They're nasty. They're weird. Those people, if you've been in practice for a minute, exist, and you don't want them in your practice. So it's better to learn how to get a no from somebody, especially when it comes to fees and pricing, y'all. Pricing and fees is a form of marketing. That's a whole nother podcast episode for a whole nother day. But I tell you, your fees are a form of marketing and attracting the right people to your practice. Your fees are too low, you will attract the wrong people to your practice. But at the same time, understand that your fees are going to cause some people to squirm and not be comfortable or not want to move forward or even say mean and nasty things about you. If they are not but that doesn't say that you're a mean and nasty person. That says they're a mean and nasty person. Only a mean and nasty person is going to say something about somebody else's business that they don't got anything to do with. So again, a reflection on them, not on you. Just know that the more practice you get with getting rejection and shifting your mindset to realizing that it's the fastest way to getting the right yeses, you're going to gain confidence to overcome the challenges and continue working towards success in your practice. And remember, with every, like I said, every rejection, every time you fall down and get back up, you are one step closer to success. Okay. Every entrepreneur fails. It's just who fails the fastest is the one who is the most successful the fastest. The kiddos who start trying to walk and fall and keep getting up and falling learn how to walk faster than the ones who are really hesitant and they don't want to. They're afraid to get back up. So that's going to lead me into, we got a couple more here. Well, another piece, another thing that can hold us back from executing in our practice and in our business is not being in alignment with the plan that you set in aside in the first place. This one's kind of a no-brainer. It's kind of funny though. Sometimes we set goals and plans based on other people's visions and ideas, and then we realize that it's no longer in alignment with what we want, what we need, what our core beliefs are, where God is calling us. And sometimes what prevents us from moving forward is our unwillingness to pivot. Like I said, we make a plan and God has his own plans, and sometimes he does not actually tell you what the next step in the plan is until you complete the one that you're at right now. And so you get there and you're like, wait a minute, I was going to do this thing. And then he's like, no, you're going to do something else. And instead of just doing something else and following the path, we just stand there and we stay stuck and we stay still and we don't go anywhere. So if you find discrepancies in your plan with what God is calling you to do, with what makes sense for your life, what makes sense for peace and harmony in your practice and your home life and your values, revisit your plan. Make sure it's still in alignment with your goals. Make sure your goals are still in alignment with your vision. Maybe your visit has changed. Maybe your goals have changed. Maybe your life has changed. So check on those things on a regular basis. I check every quarter, if you're wondering. Another thing that can hold us back is not believing you're worthy of the outcome. Y'all, a lot of people have fear of failure, but a lot of people also have fear of success. And you can have both of them. And self-doubt is one of those things that can start to creep in and really hinder your progress. When we are intentional about cultivating self-confidence, or not even self-confidence, but confidence that God has you placed where you're supposed to place, I like to have Godfidence, because sometimes self-confidence, I'm like, I'm not it. I am not it. He is it. So I'm just going to have confidence that he knows what he's doing. I'm just going to go along with it. That's okay. But it allows you to recognize it's okay to be successful. We also want to know what success is. So being clear on what success is for you is important. What do you consider success? What are your values? What are you being called to do is also important. And so sometimes we don't feel like we're enough for the calling. And that's where I say having Godfidence, like God's going to call you where he wants you to be, and just knowing and trusting he's going to put you where you need to be, when you need to be there, not any sooner, not any later. So setting realistic goals and then celebrating milestones, no matter how small they are, can make a huge difference. If you struggle with fear of success, celebrate the little milestones and surround yourself with a supportive network of like-minded professionals who offer encouragement and reassurance through this process. Okay, we've got one more major pitfall that I see when I'm working with students and patients actually as well, but people prevent not reaching their goals is starting something but not finishing it. Here's the thing. In business, it typically takes 90 days to see enough data from anything to know if it's working. At least 90 days. It's ironic because it's kind of about the same as a lot of other things in life, to see if something is working. And one of the things I see happen more often than not, and I have personally struggled with myself, is not staying committed to something and giving up prematurely. Now, there are going to be times where, like, I know this is not for me. This is not working. This is a hard no, and I'm not going to move forward. And I, with wisdom, make a decision to cut something off early. But a lot of times, it's usually around day 40, day 30, something like that, between 30 and 40, where I'm like, oh, I don't know if this is working. Maybe we should pivot. Maybe we should try. Maybe we should. I am no stranger to wanting to pivot last minute, or not last minute, but pivot in the middle of something, because it's not working out the way I think it's going to work out. But then being frustrated later on when I don't get the result because I didn't give it enough time. So just like working out, you can't go to the gym once, twice, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and expect for your body to be completely different. You cannot change your diet for a month and expect for your life to completely radically change. Sometimes it does, but often it doesn't. It's the same with the care that you provide to patients as well. It's going to be the same thing in business. So I encourage you, when you sit down and you're looking at your plans and your goals, to plan to have at least 90 days for anything that you're going to do, and understand that setbacks will occur. It's not a linear, growth is not linear in any way, shape, or form in anything in life. And so learning to view setbacks as experience that can help you refine your approach and strengthen your resolve is essential. And then just like with everything else, having a supportive network of other like-minded professionals, coaches, mentors, friends, spouses, people who can encourage you and also potentially provide camaraderie and insights and experiences will help you to stay focused on your long-term objectives. Again, we want to review those on a regular basis, but remember, 90 days is the minimum, which means sometimes it takes 180 days. Sometimes it takes an entire year. Sometimes certain efforts take longer than that. because they're big goals and they're big things. And so maybe they need to be chunked down a little bit, but you have to stay on pace in order for them, or you have to stick with something in order to see the result. I tell people all the time, no, you shouldn't have to wait 3 years to take a vacation or to pay yourself in a business. I am not a fan of that mindset, but sometimes it's not going to happen overnight. Sometimes, you know, I have some great examples, some testimonials of students who made more their very first month than they were making as an associate. I have testimonials of students who have been through the program or have coached with me who are booked 3 to 6 months out, you know, within months of starting their practice. I can show you that the pieces to put in place to allow for those things to happen. But for some people, that's not the result that they get right away. And it can be a combination of things. It can be a combination of there's some trial and testing that needs to happen, and we need to learn how to play to your strengths a little bit differently. It can be the market that you're in. It could be the environment that you're in. It could be that something that you're doing right now has never been done before, and you are literally innovating. So if you were innovating and creating something brand new, you can't expect in the first 2 weeks for it to just take off. And I've done a lot of innovating in my life. So I can tell you, sometimes it's literally just the fact that you need to be patient and you need to give it more time to cook, to stew. I've never had, you know, if you like, I love pho. I love all kinds of soups and like things that cook for a really long time and marinate for a really long time. I love barbecue. I love barbecue that has been cooked for a day. Like, y'all, that stuff is not something you can pop in the microwave. Barbecue that has been in a 100-year-old pit for a day, 2 days, 3 days, I don't know how long, but for a long, long time, tastes way better than if you were to pull something out of the freezer and throw it in the microwave. I don't even like microwave food. It just grossed me out thinking about it. But sometimes we want to do that in our practice. And we're like, oh, I took the recipe and I threw it in the microwave, Dr. Alex, and I wonder why it doesn't taste the same. It's not working out the way I thought it was going to. And the reality is that it should have been in the slow cooker. We should have given it time. Sometimes we should have marinated it before we started it, right? Sometimes we get so excited to jump into practice and we jump in, and we didn't give ourselves 90 days to really plan and put things in place, because some things take 90 days to turn over. And I can tell you, the people who planned ahead of time and gave themselves time to launch are the ones who tend to be the most successful, because they gave themselves time to launch and to really get clear on who they are, what their vision is, what their practice is all about, what their systems and procedures are, what is valuable to them, what are their compromisables, what are their not compromisables, what is the foundation of their business. They were super intentional about those things ahead of time. So when they did open, they had most of that work done. All they needed to do was make little tune things in here and there. But they were able to see success so much sooner, so much faster. I did the same exact thing in my second practice. I spent about 45 days, no, more than that, about 60 days at least, just thinking about my practice, planning it out, getting to know what I wanted, who I was, not just who I was, but like how to play to my strengths, getting clear on what those things were, what I had available to me. And then I soft launched for 2 or 3 months with only 8 hours on my schedule before I was officially launching my practice. I gave my business time to marinate and time to slow cook before I expected to see results. And can I tell you, I saw some results a lot faster because of that, versus trying to jump in right away, which I see a lot of people, and there's nothing wrong with that. If the timing is right, the timing is right. If God's calling you to do it right now, that's totally fine. Just understand that sometimes that slow cooking season is your first couple of months. And so I encourage everyone, while you're listening to this, regardless of who you're working with, what you're doing, how you're doing it, whether you're in school, whether you are, you know, been a practitioner for 20 years. I mean, if you've been a practitioner for 20 years, you know it takes time to cook. But if you're a student, you're like, man, I don't know why I can't figure this skill out. I don't know why cervical adjustments are so challenging for me. It's probably because you haven't had enough time to cook. It's going to take some time. If you're like, man, I don't understand why I'm not getting this concept, or my patients aren't getting better as fast as the people who taught me how to do the thing, it's because they've spent time in the crock pot. They're much better at it than you are, and you will get better at it. It's called practice for a reason. It's gonna take time. And so with that, y'all, I want to encourage every single person on here, if you are finding yourself procrastinating or stuck or not sure why you're not moving forward, I want you to journal these things out. Ask yourself, is it that you don't know what to do or you don't know how to do it? Is it that you need some accountability and you need to work, you need to grow your self-discipline muscle? Are you struggling with fear of rejection? Are you struggling with fear of success? Is it possible that your plan is no longer in alignment with your mission and your vision, and it may need to be edited or pivoted? Or are you potentially cutting things short before they can even grow, before they can even turn into anything, and you're cutting, you're pivoting, and you're changing way too fast? Journal those things out, y'all. I would love to hear your thoughts. Feel free to leave it in the comments here on the podcast if you've experienced something like this. And if you have not yet signed up for the Boutique Practice Roadmap Challenge and you want access to that, check out the show notes. We'd be more than happy to get that in your hands. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May He make His face to shine upon you. If you don't know it already, you are loved. You cannot earn it. There's nothing you can do to lose it. Have a great day. Bye. Hey friend, thank you for tuning into today's episode. I hope you found inspiration and valuable insight to fuel your journey towards boutique practice freedom and fulfillment. Before you go, I have an exciting announcement to share. The doors for the 2024 Boutique Practice Blueprint are officially open. If you're ready to design a practice that aligns with your values, honors not just your passions, but your other callings as well, whether it's to your family, your spouse, to another hobby, whatever it is, and a practice that also brings true fulfillment, then this program is for you. Join us as we guide you through a transformative journey towards building the boutique practice of your dreams. And right now, with our early bird special, you can save up to $2,000, y'all, on enrollment. But you're going to want to act fast because the doors are closing soon and there's only so many seats. So don't miss your chance to unlock the secrets to success and create a practice that not only empowers you to live and work on your own terms, but also empowers your ideal clients to truly see transformation in their health without you having to sacrifice the things that are most important to you. Go ahead and visit us at the Boutique Practices website to secure your spot today. Thank you so much for being a part of our community, and I look forward to supporting you on your journey towards practice freedom.